This is Twit.
So around 20,000 Pokemon Go players made their way to Niantic's Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago this weekend. Renee Ritchie from iMore was there, and he lived to tell the tale. He joins us now. Welcome, Renee.
You know, Andy Nocco called me an embedded reporter, and it almost felt like that.
Well, that was going to be my first question. Were you there for business or pleasure? What do you think?
I was covering it for Android Central and iMore because it's been as popular as iPhone or any, you know, our Samsung for us over the last year. So we wanted to make sure that we had a presence.
Wow. I mean, are you a big Pokemon Go player? Would you say that was a motivating reason as well? Or
I might be level 40, Jason. I might have a problem.
See, that does nothing for me. I don't even know what that number is.
So it's like the highest level you can get in the current game.
Okay.
I have a question. Yeah. I have a litmus test. If you had to give up Pokemon Go or all of your Apple Watch bands, which would go first?
Bye-bye, Pokemon. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
You can't mess with Apple Watch.
Okay.
All right. I'm a human being, Megan. I'm a human being.
Not an animal.
We're getting to the choice point here. We understand a little bit deeper. So first of all, before we get to the chaos, let's start with the cream of the crop, I suppose. Even though I'm not going to understand at all any of this, there were apparently some rare Pokemon there. What did you find?
Yeah, so when you first got there, there was a Heracross, which is usually restricted to Southern Florida and South America. And then there's this Pokemon called Unknown, which can take the form of any of the 26 letters of the alphabet. And they made the ones that spell out the word Chicago available at the event, which was kind of cute.
Okay. Yeah. That's creative. Yeah. All right, so that's good stuff. Now the bad stuff. Thunderstorms, they were on the forecast, but that didn't happen. So it was total crisis averted, right? Everything went.
Yeah, well, it was raining when we first. Because so the early access, which was supposed to be Sprint's early access, and some of the media tours were at 9 o'clock, and it had stopped raining by then. It was still overcast, which is actually nice because it's blisteringly hot in Chicago otherwise. It did get hotter throughout the day, though.
Totally. You don't want that like sharp sun beating down on you all day.
No, and it does because Grant Park is fairly open. There are a few areas of shade, but the main parts of Grant Park are wide open.
It looks like it. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the technology behind this event. And I heard even I was like up in the woods and I got very little cell coverage, you know, at a family reunion. I still kind of heard a little bit about this. I heard it being compared to the Fire Festival for nerds. I don't know how much of that is true, but apparently the cell networks were not able to keep up with this. What happened?
So they were confident because they hold Lollapalooza at that park, and that Lollapalooza takes up about four or five times as much space and has probably four or five times as many people as Pokemon Go. But I think what they didn't understand is just how much data, how many socket connections, just how much it's pulling and how much it's hitting those towers. So AT&T went down hard. Sprint, Verizon went down hard. T-Mobile had pockets and moments of doing – probably did better than the other three, but they were all being hit hard. So they – throughout the day, they were trying to add repeaters, and they beam signal into there. They have a couple antennas, but they have dishes everywhere that they're beaming more capacity into, and it couldn't keep up. So there was like two phases of the problem. First, you had to be able to get data at all, and if you could, Pokemon Go servers started going down, so you couldn't log in, you couldn't interact with the objects, you couldn't take part in catching the Pokemon or in the raids, and eventually that led to a huge chant of "we can't play," and you had thousands and thousands of people just chanting that.
Did it get violent?
No, I mean, they did use adult language, you know, viewer discretion advised. But, you know, all in all, it was real. Like, they were making the best of it. They stayed orderly. It stayed civil. I didn't see any pockets of actual unrest. There were just a lot of really sad people. And, you know, to their credit, John Hankey, who did Google Maps and Google Earth and Ingress and now Pokemon Go, he was there walking around in the beginning. He sat there in the sun signing autographs for hours and hours and hours. Even when people were yelling, you know, the worst stuff at him, he didn't flinch. He stayed there. He stayed engaged. And sort of anything can fail. Any company can fail. And so I feel it's how you deal with that that sort of tells your story. And both him and John Quigley, their CMO, were there all the time. There was nothing on background. Everything was on the record. They were talking to people and they were trying to do the best they could.
That's awesome. So this is 20,000 people all in a single park, basically hitting these servers. Everyone's staring at their phones for hours. What's that like? Or did that feel normal? Because I feel like in this day and age, everybody stares at their phones, but a concentrated amount of 20,000 people all staring at their phone at once, That kind of be, I don't know, a little unsettling.
That wasn't the way. So I didn't really notice it because I figured like any park with a large amount of people would probably be doing that anyway. Yeah, but they were doing it like in Pikachu costumes. And, you know, so there, and a lot of people were dressed up or, you know, had their families or were wearing T-shirts. There was a whole bunch of people in kilts, too. I mean, it was a spectacle to be sure. And I think that drew more attention than just people staring at their phones. And most of their phones weren't working, so they had it at their side, sort of with angry looks on their face.
That's true. They had to look up from time to time.
So one of the headlines I saw was, you know, Pokemon Go's has had problems at launch, and those problems have never been fixed. Would you agree with that, or is that a bit of an exaggeration?
So they have been. So initially, the famous story is that they thought they would get so many users. They planned to get, I think, 10 times the amount of that, and they got 100 times. And we haven't figured out scale. I mean, we can look at Pokemon Go and say they failed, but I think there's very few companies in the world. I mean, they're on Google, as far as I know. They're using Google servers that can handle that kind of capacity. It's just this stuff, the technology, the infrastructure is not designed to scale this way, and they keep hitting the limits of it. And that's just, it's terrible for them. I mean, blessed whoever follows them. They'll have a much easier time at doing this the second time around. But Niantic keeps sort of hitting these things. And I think that, you know, they planned for it, but they still got hit. And unfortunately, as we know from trying to use an iPhone on AT&T and all those stories, when you hurt these towers, it's not like they stop letting people on. They just crash for everybody. And that this seems like a fundamental flaw in the technology to me.
And and like you were saying, it sounded like, at least on Niantic's side, they were working on the other side behind the scenes to kind of scale things up, obviously, but to also add kind of extra incentives. Talk a little bit about kind of what they made up for the chaos earlier in the day, later in the day, and I guess over the next 48 hours, right?
Yeah, so the event was a little bit complicated to start with. So basically, people in the park would try to catch certain Pokemon to unlock bonuses that people around the world could then extend to 24 or 48 hours, unlock a challenge that if the people in Chicago defeated would unlock this mystery thing for everybody, which turned out to be the legendary Pokemon that a lot of people were waiting for. But what happened is none of that could work, and I don't think they were going to chance making like this big legendary thing inside the park anymore. So all the bonuses were unlocked. They were unlocked for 48 hours. They're refunding the tickets to, you know, for everybody who bought for a ticket, not the airfare, not the hotel. So people are still out money, but they refunded all the tickets. They're giving everybody $100 in in-game currency, $100 US in in-game currency for their troubles. And they're also giving one of these legendary Pokemon to everybody who registered for the event. And that's one of the problems they had to deal with because people do GPS spoofing to try to play the game in locations where they aren't. So they had QR codes you could scan to make sure you were physically there. And there were some rumors that maybe that was part of the problem with, you know, trying to have that much control over the environment was causing part of the problem.
Yeah. Now, you kind of alluded to this just a few minutes ago, but as I read through about this story and kind of took it in a little bit, we realize right now that AI, artificial intelligence, has this big push going on. And yes, Pokemon Go was maybe not the first to kind of bring it to a more mainstream audience, but it was definitely one of the big examples. What does this experiment say about the future of AI as we kind of lead more into this realm where more and more people are getting involved in it? Is it just that the software makers need to do a better job supporting it on the back end? Is it that cell phone companies need to do more to boost their signals on the back end? Like, what lesson could be learned here?
So I don't think this was a problem with that. That's more of a display technology. And I don't think a lot of people actually use the AR environments in this. I think they just play in the game. But it's those parts. It's that interaction. It's those constant connections to the server. Because if you have 20 people battling the same Pokemon, it's got to make sure everybody is in sync and the same thing is happening.
That's true.
And it's registering it and it's unlocking it. And if any of those connections go down, it reminds me of that story like, you know, 2-3 years ago. Maybe it was longer now, when Amazon went down. And it turned out that their gossip protocol didn't have a checksum. And one went bad and it took down the part that was designed to show you that everything was up, took everything down. It was just, you know, there's all, when you're dealing with that multitude of people and that multitude of connections, any small thing can be, you know, disastrous. And I think that's what we're seeing now. They turned off animations in the game, some of the animations in the game, to try to improve it. But I think the display layer still worked fine for them. It was just all the constant connections to their server that ended up, you know, just not working out.
Yeah, and how they manage all of those simultaneously. Certainly a problem that I would have no input on, so I respect that people are working behind the scene to make it work. I know, especially, and Burke was pointing this out, how hard they got booed from the stage repeatedly. Yeah. They're working under intense pressure. You have to imagine they've coordinated, put up this event with that many people in one place just to play the game, and then it doesn't work.
it's not just them. It's the Pokemon company, right? Like, this is not their property. And the Pokemon company is incredibly protective of their intellectual property. And I'm sure they're not happy that this event didn't turn out the way the Pokemon events in Japan, for example, have.
Right. Well, if at first it doesn't succeed, try again, I suppose.
Absolutely.
And then you'll go to that one too, and you'll have to let us know all about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully they learn from this. I want to see somebody, whether it's Niantic or somebody else, start succeeding, because I think we're only going to be playing more and more games that are as connected as our society has become.
Yeah.